Happy Friday, everyone. Thank you, all of you who are supporting Into the Word, keeping us on this radio station. Appreciate that very, very much. I also want to encourage every last one of you, have a home church. If you don't have one, find one. Everybody needs a place where they can gather and encourage and worship and celebrate and pray and praise and serve. And the Scripture makes it plain that we should not forsake the assembling together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So obey the Scripture, go to church. If you are actively looking for a home congregation right now and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East building, may I invite you to come and check us out as a potential place to call your church home. I want you to return to the book of Joshua today. Keep Judges chapter 1 on standby, because I think we'll be getting to that in a little bit. But Joshua chapter 19, and we're speeding our way through some of this now, because we modern Western students, we do better with maps rather than just reading names off of a list. And so this is a lot of map material, and I encourage you to get a good map and kind of figure out where these tribal regions are that are being assigned by Joshua at God's direction. It seems that they are at Shiloh, which is the first big worship, centralized worship site for Israel in the Promised Land. And they are, I think, they're in the seventh month of the seventh year they've been in the land of promise, which means that they're kicking off their first sabbatical year of rest. And so part of the celebrations includes the divvying up by divine lot the remaining parts of the promised land to the tribes that have not yet had tribal regions assigned. Last time we were together, the first tribe that was given tribal territory at this meeting was Benjamin. And they get the section that is immediately north of Judah on the east side of the Judah territory. Their territory stretches from Jericho, that is the Benjamite territory, stretches from Jericho up into the hills north of Jerusalem. And Jebus, Jerusalem, is actually part of the Benjamite tribe. Now the next lot that comes up is for Simeon. And we've already talked about how the Simeonites went along with Judah in taking Judah's territory. And I think that happened at the very beginning of the seventh year. So here we have information about the Simeonite tribe. Chapter 19 of Joshua says, the second lot came for Simeon, for the tribe of the people of Simeon, according to their clans, and their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the people of Judah. And so this seems to have been an agreement struck with the people of Judah that because their area is so large and sprawling, that if the Simeonites would go along with them, then they could expect to be given selected towns and areas inside the Judah territory. And we have some of their towns listed in verses 2 through 7. And one of the big ones is Beersheba. And we know exactly where that's at. But look at verse number 9. The inheritance of the people of Simeon form part of the territory of the people of Judah because the portion of the people of Judah was too large for them. The people of Simeon obtained an inheritance in the midst of their inheritance. So that's where we get the idea that kind of a deal was struck early on. chapter number 19, verse 10. The third lot came up for the people of Zebulun, according to their clans. And the territory of their inheritance reached as far as Sarid. And basically, we're talking about to the east, we'll do that again, to the west of the Sea of Galilee. And you'll have the list of all the little cities, 12 of them, that come up here in the next few verses. I'm not going to read all those. And again, you can kind of find them on a map that is useful for the for our purposes. Now, I will take you, though, to Judges chapter 1, verse 30 at this point. Because the book of Judges starts with a little flashback of which tribes got which territory, but what they did with it. Or perhaps better described as what they didn't do with it. Judges 1:30 says, Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kithron or the inhabitants of Nahalal, so the Canaanites lived among them, but became subject to forced labor. So the flashback basically is, even though they are given territorial assignment, these tribes do not go in and forcibly eject the Canaanites like they were supposed to do. Instead, they make deals with the Canaanites to be put to hard labor inside the territory. Now, that was not supposed to happen, which is why Israel gets in trouble very quickly in the book of Judges. Okay, back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 19, verse 17, the fourth lot came out for Issachar, for the people of Issachar, according to their clans, and their territory included Jezreel and Kesulut, and we've got a whole bunch of lists of names here. And basically, again, this is in an area of Galilee today. And then we read in verse 24, the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the people of Asher. Their territory included basically the east coast, try that again, the west coast of the Promised Land, the east side of the Mediterranean basin, from the little bump that goes out into the Mediterranean on the coastline, that's Mount Carmel, all the way up toward Tyre and Sidon. And that's the way it's described in here. It's the western side of what is modern Galilee. And then we have a note from the book of Judges at this point, Judges 1:31. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko. Now, Akko is the bay that is just north of the bump out into the Mediterranean there in the southern end of the Asher territory. Or they didn't drive out the inhabitants of Sidon, Alab and Akzib or Helba or Aphek. Aphek is a little inland from that bay of Akko. We call it the Bay of Haifa nowadays. So, what do we end up with? Verse 32, the Asherites lived among the Canaanites in the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. That is a repeated critique in the book of Judges at the very beginning of how the Israeli tribes received territory by divine lot, but they didn't bother to do occupation of it in accordance with God's directives. Back to Joshua 19, verse 32. The sixth lot came out for the people of Naphtali, for the people of Naphtali according to their clans. And then it starts listing the boundaries, and it also talks about the different towns that are part of this. And this is part of Galilee as well, when you start reading where it's located and see it on a map. We have a little note from Judges as well on this. Judges 1:33. Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh. That's one of the towns that's listed, or the inhabitants of Beth Anat. So they lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anat became subject to forced labor for them. So you can see this repeated theme here at the beginning of the book of Judges, that the Israelis don't properly take possession fully of their designated territories. Verse 40, back in Joshua 19, the seventh, and I should say final, lot came out for the tribe of the people of Dan, according to their clans. Now, Dan, when you see it listed here, is the western side of that corridor between Judah on the south and Ephraim on the north. Remember, Benjamin got the east end of that corridor that included Jericho and Jerusalem. Dan gets the western end of that corridor. And some of the towns become familiar to us in one of the stories out of the book of Judges, because it's where Samson is born and raised and does his work. We've got Zorah mentioned, and Eshtaol, and Timnah, and Ekron. So these are going to be important places on the west side of that corridor later in the book of Judges. Verse number 47 of Joshua 19, when the territory of the people of Dan was lost to them. Now, wait a second. What do you mean it was lost to them? We have more information about that over in Judges 1. Judges 1:34 says, the Amorites, which is just one of the subgroups of the Canaanites, the Amorites pressed the people of Dan back into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down on the plain. Now, we keep reading in the book of Judges about how the Canaanites living in the flatlands, the plain, along the Mediterranean coast and up in the Jezreel Valley, they have chariots. And so what happens is Dan gets their territory, which includes about half of it is down on the Mediterranean coast. But because of the chariots down there, the Danites give up. They don't feel that they can take it. So they lose half of their designated territory. The book of Judges continues in 1:35. The Amorites persisted in dwelling in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shaalbim, but the hand of the house of Joseph rested heavily on them, and they became subject to forced labor. And the border of the Amorites ran from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah and upward. And so basically, the Judges book, the author of Judges, and there's probably several different authors involved, several different prophets that are involved in the writing of the book. They point out that here at the beginning of the divvying up the inheritance, Dan felt pushed away from the coastal region, and they basically gave up to the Canaanites. Now, their neighbors to the north, the Ephraimites, They kind of fight against the peoples on the coastline, and they eventually turn them into laborers. But the Canaanites remain throughout the land of Israel because the Israelis did not follow God's directives about what to do against the Canaanites. The Canaanites were under an eviction order by God. Either get out or be executed. But even though they were quite successful of getting this done at the beginning of Joshua's campaign, the follow-up campaign fell through. The occupation by the individual tribes did not happen the way it was supposed to. Instead, they kind of do their own thing, which when we go back to Joshua 19, that's the rest of the story of the tribe of Dan. Verse 47 again. When the territory of the people of Dan was lost to them, that's the coastal half, the people of Dan went up and fought against Leshem. Leshem is way up north, nowhere near the tribal territory of Dan. Leshem gets a new name that we know better. It says, after capturing it and striking it with the sword, they took possession of it and settled in it, calling Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan, their ancestor. And this is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Dan, according to their clans, their cities, with their villages. So there will be a big contingent of Danites that will say, forget this nonsense. We're not fighting against these guys with chariots. We'll go somewhere else and find a place that doesn't look so hard to take. And we'll take it and make it our territory. And that's how the tribe of Dan ends up in charge of a city way far north in the land of Israel. Then we have one more notice, verse 49 of Joshua 19. When they had finished distributing the several territories of the land as inheritance, the people of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua the son of Nun. So during the allotment phases, we know that Joshua's own tribe was given an area up near Shechem. Well, verse 50, by command of he who is, they gave him the city that he asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. This is a little bit west, maybe a little southwest from Shechem. So they gave him that, and he rebuilt the city and settled in it. So that became his inheritance. And then we finish by saying, verse 51, these are the inheritances that Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel distributed by lot at Shiloh before he who is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they finish dividing the land. So now they're done. I think they've already had the Feast of Tabernacles, or they will be having it very shortly. Soon they will all be dismissed to enjoy their first sabbatical year, and then they will start their occupational use of their territories at the beginning of the eighth year of their time in the land. But chapter 20 of Joshua has a little bit more business that needs to be taken care of, and we'll fly through a lot of this as well because there's a lot of just names here. He who is said to Joshua, say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. We've talked about this earlier when we were talking about Moses getting this information from God. There is a distinction between premeditated murder, which demands an execution penalty, and accidental death, which demands a lesser penalty. And there needs to be protections to enforce the distinction between those two things, to keep a tribal group from executing someone for something that they should have only been penalized on the lesser charge. So verse number 4, the accidental killer shall flee to one of these cities of refuge, always within one day's travel from anywhere in Israel. And he shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of that city. It's effectively a transfer of venue. Then they shall take him into the city, give him a place, and he shall remain with them. So they give him a trial. And if they come to the conclusion that it was an accident, then he's still penalized. He has to remain at the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. So he's effectively under city detention. But he is not executed. He can't be executed. He can't be extradited. Verse 5, if the offender of blood pursues him, this is effectively the sheriff coming from the tribe where the death occurred. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. He shall remain in the city until he stood before the congregation for judgment, till the death of him who is high priest at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his own town, his own home, to the city for which he fled. And so we have the list of these cities now being designated. Kadesh in Galilee, that's going to be in the hill country of Naphtali now. That's going to be up in the north. One of the judges will be coming from that place. Shechem, we know exactly where that's at, in the hill country of Ephraim. And then Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. So we know exactly where all three of those cities of refuge are on the west side of the Jordan. Beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they appointed Bezer in the wilderness of the Tableland from the tribe of Reuben. That's going to be somewhere east of the North Bay of the Dead Sea. Ramoth in Gilead, Ramoth Gilead, we know exactly where that's at, from the tribe of Gad. And then Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. We don't know exactly where this city of Golan is, but we know where the region of Golan is, because we still refer to it as the Golan Heights. And the city would have been somewhere to the north, well, actually to the east or northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And so these are the cities designated for all the people of Israel, for the stranger sojourning among them, and anyone who's killed a person without intent could flee there so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood till he stood before the congregation. Now, chapter 21 has a list, or the beginning of the list, of all the Levitical cities. Now, the six cities of refuge are automatically part of the Levitical cities. The idea seems to be here that the Levi tribe is going to be the tribe of worship leadership and of instructional leadership from God's word, and judicial leadership of making sure that fairness from God's word is applied everywhere in the land of Israel. And so because of that, they are going to be scattered in all 12 tribal regions, given cities in all the different tribal regions. And that is what chapter 21 describes in great detail. And you can recognize a lot of the cities as you go through that list. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because, again, it's something that's best done by looking on a map. Verse 43 says, actually, let's start in verse 41. The cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel were in all 48 cities. So 48 cities scattered all over the 12 tribes of Israel are set aside as homes for the Levites, along with their pasture lands, the area around them. These cities each had its pasture lands around it, so it was with all the cities. And thus, he who is gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. They took possession of it, so they're starting to occupy it. And God had told them, you're going to start occupying a core of your tribal inheritance, and then you're supposed to spread out from there. That was the goal. And they needed to trust God and let him take care of the Canaanites that were in the way, that had remained or returned against God's instructions and intention. So verse 44, he who is gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them. See, here at the beginning, we've had nothing but victories under Joshua, and they have taken all of this area. Now they've divvied it up to the tribes, and each tribe is going to be responsible for fully occupying their region with God's help. Verse 45, not one word of all the good promises that he who is had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. So as we close up today, everything looks good, but it's going to start falling apart very soon.